I'm going to just start with a scripture reading today rather than two readings. So I'm going to have a few quotes that I'm going to start my message off with. And this is a relatively traditional reading for one of the Sundays immediately following Easter. You'll be familiar with this story, I suspect. I'm reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 27. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version and the updated edition of that. Hear now these words. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So, the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house that Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Do not doubt, but believe." May we add knowledge and understanding to the reading of these words. Message this morning is entitled Irrational Faith. So, like I mentioned, I want to start today by sharing several quotes with you. Two are from folks who were believers, and two are from folks who were not. Each of them are folks that I respect. I'm sharing these quotes with you because I believe that they each point to the same core belief that I'm trying to address today. The first is from Blaise Pascal, who once said, "Men never do evil so completely and cheerfully as when they do so from a religious conviction." Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase." Ernest Hemingway said, "All thinking men are atheists." And finally, Mark Twain said, "Faith is believing in that which I know ain't so." So the core belief that I believe these quotes contain is the belief that faith is mostly a mindless pursuit. The belief that faith requires some degree of checking your brain at the door. In other words, it's mostly a not rational thing. But rational may not mean what we colloquially come to believe it means. I'd say that we've been selling rationality short if we think of it as just being a system of inductive proofs, like mathematics. We're selling rationality short if we think of it as a behavior where you start with a certain precept and only build on it very cautiously, only accepting theorems that have been rigorously proven, leaving everything else as conjecture. If you're requiring people who adhere to various faiths to meet that level of rigor, then don't be surprised if they don't pass that test. But the reality is that bar is too high for belief in pretty much any belief system, spiritual or otherwise. Several years ago, I was part of a traveling forum called Common Ground Conversations. It involved an evangelical minister turned atheist and me having conversations about how humanists, the progressive Christians, actually have more in common than in difference, and how we could become a substantial and influential voting bloc if we could just manage to set the question of deity aside in favor of advancing policies that would make the world a better place. Inevitably, despite our best efforts, during the question and answer portion of the gathering, someone would bring up the question of deity. One such question was something like this: how can an atheist say that they know for sure that God doesn't exist? Well, as my co-host would say, the fact of the matter is most rational atheists would concede that it is true that they don't know that God doesn't exist in quite the same way that they know for a fact that Newton's third law of motion is true, but that they are still perfectly justified in claiming that moniker of atheist. After all, I mean, most of us, for kind of a silly example, don't believe that there's life on the planet Saturn. Microbial, maybe, whatever. But the reality is that most of us also don't have any hands-on proof of that. Still, I would venture to guess that not one of us would try to claim that we are agnostic about the concept of life on Saturn. We most likely come down on the side that there is no life on Saturn. And I also venture to guess that most of us would consider that very rational behavior, despite lacking hands-on belief or knowledge. You see, as I hinted when we began, rational belief is not just a system of inductive proof. Rational belief is also theories that you favor based on evidence that you have. I'm going to repeat that. Rational belief is also theories that you favor based on the evidence that you have. It is the reality that you would bet on if you found yourself in a position where you needed to. It includes a lot of beliefs that are more working hypotheses, like the Saturn one, than proofs. Healthy faith can be understood the same way. For some people, their belief system can actually be their best working hypothesis as they delve into questions of morality and creation and humanity and any other number of considerations. It's not that they've arrived at a decision about a faith they are 100% confident about, as much as it is that the decision is their best hypothesis. And again, like in our Saturn example, for most folks, it would be a bit of a misnomer to claim to be agnostic, even though they aren't 100% certain. A Berkeley law professor, Laura Buchok, is an expert in decision theory and a philosopher of religion. So as an expert in decision theory and a philosopher of religion, she is in a somewhat unique position to look at the question of faith and rationality. She points out that people commonly treat faith as something stronger than belief, as something that maintains despite evidence to the contrary. But Buchok argues that there is a sense in which faith actually goes beyond evidence, but that it does require believing something more strongly than the evidence suggests. Instead, she describes the faith as a commitment to acting as if some claim is true without first needing to examine additional evidence that could potentially impact the claim, like in our example of Saturn. Now, if you understand this perspective, Buchok gives this scenario. This is a quote. If a man has faith that his spouse isn't cheating, this seems to rule out his hiring of a private investigator, opening her mouth, or even striking a conversation with the boss to check that she was really working late last night. That is, it rules out conducting an inquiry to verify that the spouse isn't cheating. If he does any of those things, then she can rightfully complain that he doesn't have faith in her. End quote. The reality is that even if he couldn't be 100% sure that she'd been faithful, he still should have enough evidence to rationally have faith in her. To further confront the fable of faith being completely irrational, she brings up the so-called Doubting Thomas story that we've read today. As many of you know, I call him Inquisitive Thomas. Thomas asked to put his hands in Jesus' side to verify that he has been resurrected in the flesh. Now, traditionally, that story is used to sort of indicate that Thomas lacks faith. And in that way of understanding the story, it's basically trying to teach that faith requires a willingness to act as if something is true, while also refraining from gathering evidence for the purpose of checking whether it's true, even if you are no longer certain that it's true. But honestly, I mean, who in their right mind would agree to living life that way? I mean, when you are uncertain of something, isn't it always better, not to mention more interesting, to have more evidence rather than less evidence? Pulling from her work in decision theory, rational choice theory, and even mathematical determination, Buchok comes to the conclusion that yes, indeed, faith can be rational. She says that for faith to be rational, a basic precondition first needs to be met. It must be the case that you think a claim is sufficiently likely and that actions it supports sufficiently beneficial that the expected utility of acting on that claim outweighs the expected utility of not doing so. I'll say that one more time and a little more slowly. It must be the case, she says, that you think that a claim is sufficiently likely and the action it supports sufficiently beneficial that the expected utility or use of the act on the claim outweighs the expected utility of not doing so. So, for example, if you assign a higher utility to a marriage in which both partners are faithful than to one in which one of the partners cheats, and this is an important piece of her hypothesis, and you have a reason to believe that your partner is faithful, then the expected utility of being faithful yourself can outweigh that of not doing so. Now, believe it or not, Bouchot's arguments for how faith can be rational get even more difficult to follow than those points. But the conclusions aren't that difficult to summarize. Basically, faith will be more likely to be rational when you begin with data for the question in claim, when you begin with data for the claim in question, in contrast with believing the claim just for the sake of believing the claim. And almost counterintuitively, if you begin from an informed position, making decisions based on faith is actually a more rational approach when the cost to examining further evidence are high. And then finally, and also seemingly counterly intuitive, making decisions based on faith is more rational when the evidence is likely to be inconclusive or misleading. Because ultimately, you can miss out on what in fact is a great opportunity while you're waiting on more data and more information. Now that you've actually stuck with me through all of that, which can be very difficult to follow, as we've sorted away from that somewhat involved philosophical perspective, let me give you Bouchot's two-sentence summary about rational faith. Two sentences. Get evidence first, but don't postpone acting forever. As the quotes that I began with seem to indicate, the way that religious faith is sometimes talked about in larger cultural conversations can be harmful to everyone who's trying to find out the truth in religious matters and how they should live their lives. There's this naive idea that faith requires believing against evidence or in the absence of evidence. When that idea is adopted by more extreme atheists, it can allow them to dismiss all religious faith as irrational by definition without even considering what the evidence for a particular religion claims. And when this idea is adopted by religious people, it can allow them to think that believing against the evidence is a virtue, which is harmful to the pursuit of truth. It also can be actually psychologically harmful to try to believe something you think you don't have evidence for. So in the end, none of us have proof one way or the other, but we do have our ability to think and to react rationally. And part of that is being willing to react in the direction or another, in one direction or another, even when we may not have all the evidence that might be out there. And it is, in its own way, that's the choice of doing so, much like leaving Saturday, it's actually a very rational choice. In the end, we all need a little more compassion. We all need a little more humility, whether it comes from a place of humanism or faith or both. It's much less important where it comes from than actually extending it to one another. So in my book, it also happens to be one of the more rational things we can do to extend a little compassion and a little humility to folks no matter what their belief systems or how they got there.
desert cliff and mountaintop, betrays the one and only, strikes at fault and overcross, and spin in a dark line. The game of creation, where emotion makes it known, and counts the countless aeons in the bending of a stone. Odd, long-vanished creatures and their tracks and shells are found, where truth has left its sketches on the slate beneath the ground. The patient stone can speak, but it fails in when it talks. Humans wrote the Bible, God wrote the rocks. There are those who name the stars, watch the sky by night, seeking out the darkest flame to better see the light. Long ago, where torture broke the mountains of its will, Galileo recanted, but the earth is moving still. I love the mountaintop, where only distance spars, the truth has left its footprints. The dust between the stars, we may watch and study your visioner and divine. Humans wrote the Bible, God wrote the sky. A stemming root and branch we trace by feather, fang, and fur. How the living beings that are descended from things that were. The zebra fish, the merry mice, and flies. Tiny, humble, wordless things, how shall they tell us lies? We are kin to beasts, no other answer can we bring. The truth has left its fingerprints on every living thing. Remember, should you have to choose between them and the strife, humans wrote the Bible. God wrote life. And we who listen to the stars or walk the dusty grave, break the very atoms down to see how they are made. Or study cells or living things in truth with open hand. Profoundness act of worship is to try to understand. Deep in flower and in flesh, in star and soil and sea, the truth has left its living word for anyone to read. To turn and look where best you think the story is unfurled. Humans wrote the Bible, God wrote the world.
Let's take a moment to turn inward in a moment of prayer or meditation. Please bow your heads with me. Easy is good, or so we've been taught. We recognize that at times we even come to like an easy faith, a blind, thoughtless faith. We like to believe what we believe because we believe it. It's easy, which feels good. There is a certain blessed assurance that it seems to carry until we see the hate and discrimination and division and violence that kind of faith can bring. We hold up to the light of Jesus' teaching that kind of faith rings false. When held up to the light of Jesus' teaching, that kind of faith rings false and shallow. The emperor's clothes of Christendom. We long for a faith which matches the depths of our love. It may be that our very real and very deep love is the exact reason we so readily cling to a faith that feels equally deep, even when it is blind. May we learn to be investigators of our faith. May we be challenged to grow deeper in relationship, deeper in faith through an inquisitive faith, through knowledge, and through a more informed understanding. May we celebrate those who ask questions, who come at thoughts on faith from new perspectives, as they challenge us to grow even closer to each other and to creating a more loving world for all people. Amen. Seek this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, knowing that we are one. And may your life be full of love and happiness, and may you share that love and happiness with each person that you meet.